welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host. I'm joined here today by Eric Jones, the Freedom Screamer of Courtroom Watch. Today we're going to be talking about a case that happens to have an activist in California that was charged with 26 counts. I'm not exactly sure what those counts are, but he's an activist, and they were doing a protest for against the mask mandates down in California. And so essentially an activist was arrested for his freedom of speech, because taking a mask off is a form of freedom of speech. But hopefully these charges will be dropped, and we'll bring enough attention to this particular case that they'll know that the public is watching this. All right, Eric, go ahead, man. I'm going to put myself on mute here, and I'll let you guys do the rest of the interview here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Daniel. I appreciate it. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer here from CourtroomWatch.com. We have with us Bernadette from California, who is the girlfriend of the gentleman who's locked up. And the gentleman who's locked up, his name is David James Rodriguez. And he's, I don't know him personally, but I got a call that he was locked up and needed assistance. So what I usually do is I do some research on the person in question to make sure they're not, you know, to make sure they're worthy of help. And I'll help just about anybody, but I still like to screen it out a little bit. And what I found, you know, by going to his YouTube channel was some really good stuff. First of all, he seems like a really nice guy. He's very upbeat, very spiritual, very, you know, good vibrations. Kind of reminds me of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a California surfer dude patriot. I don't know if that's a great good way to describe him, Bernadette, but he seemed like a really, really decent guy, very kind-hearted, very helpful to people. Apparently, he's won in court a bunch of times, standing on his First Amendment rights and others. Apparently, he was the guy who initiated the Trader Joe's mask off thing, where a whole bunch of people went into Trader Joe's, which is a grocery store, and took off their mask all at once, and it created quite a stir. We were watching that video, you know, all around the country it was being played, so it kind of went viral, so to speak. His take off the mask protest at Trader Joe's,
he was not the organizer of that, Eric.
What's that, Bernadette?
I just want to get that clear for the record that David was not the organizer of that Trader Joe incident. It was the pregnant woman that was on there. We were supporting her. So I just want to make that clear, because yes, they just keep censoring the facts.
Yeah, no, I want to get it right. Thank you. Please always do definitely correct me if I have something wrong, because I'm not.
We were supporting the pregnant lady that was on that video, because they weren't letting her get groceries.
Oh, yes. Okay, so you know, there you go. He's out helping a pregnant woman who needs to take the mask off so her and her baby can get oxygen. You know, we all know the scam with the mask. They don't do any good. They do more harm than good. There's all kinds of pathogens.
Right.
Yeah, the University of Florida just did a study on the masks and found hepatitis, meningitis, the nastiest list of pathogens and diseases you'd ever want to know in the mask. Oh, by the way, the pores in the mask are 1,000 times bigger than the virus, so it's like trying to use a chain link fence to block mosquitoes. So we got that straight. So he was there in assistance of the woman who organized the protest. Nonetheless, my
That's
point
right.
was...
And the woman that organized the protest, the same department, Santa Cruz, California, kidnapped her partner, the father of her two-month-old baby that she just delivered with him.
Now, is that gentleman still locked up as well?
They transferred him to Nebraska.
Oh, my God.
On a cannabis case that he already did time for. And so there's a huge, the whole department is just violating people's rights.
Amazing. Cannabis.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, cannabis is being legalized all over the
country. Yeah, that's a whole other case, and I'd love to connect you with Christy, because they're not giving Christy any information. And she's an amazing activist for so many things. And But yeah, I can connect you with her. But just for the record, David and I were there supporting her
okay.
and other people that wanted to shop there without a mask. David did not organize that. We just showed up and we recorded it. And that's
point,
it.
Point taken. That's great. Well, it's just as good, if not even better. You know, it wasn't even his protest. He showed up to help somebody else. And that's what we're all about here at Courtroom Watch and all over the what we do, which was, you know, stand up for other people, good people, when they're being oppressed. We're being oppressed. If you're not free, Daniel, I'm not free. Bernadette, if you're not free, I'm not free. And vice versa. If I'm not free, neither are you. So we all have to kind of sink or swim together. And in this, what this dire situation we're in this country, it's very important that everybody speak out on behalf of, you know, not only the average person, so to speak, but the people like David who are front and center at these protests. Another thing, so, you know, that's just as good to me. He's showing up, and that's great. So I wanted to bring a video that he did that I really liked on the internet so people can do their research as well into what David does. And if they choose to help him, they'll know they're helping somebody who's worth helping. So he did a video on YouTube, and it's called, I think it was called 7 Reasons Why You Want to Escape the Public School System. And it was really good. And he brought up some excellent points in that video, and I really enjoyed watching that.
David is he's the author of this book called The Underground History of American Education, Volume 1, John Taylor Gatto.
Oh, okay. John Taylor Gatto. I'm very familiar with his work. He was a retired administrator in the school system, and he kind of blew the whistle on the public school scam and everything that's going on and how the entire thing, obedience and brainwashing and not education. Go ahead.
Yeah. So David actually did a book with him. So,
that's another good thing.
Yeah.
That was his mentor.
Yeah, that was his mentor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it, because he was very familiar with, okay, so that's great.
Yeah.
He was
getting ready to unleash the second book. There's actually 2 more books coming out.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that this...
It's all connected. It's probably all connected.
Yep. Absolutely connected. They want to stifle, shoot the messenger. If you can't kill the message, they're going to try to kill or incarcerate the messenger. And when I watched his video on the 7 reasons you want to escape the public school system, I said, I can see that this guy is important in the freedom movement, so to speak. He's got some very great good points. He's working with the legend, John Taylor Gatto. That's Gatto.
He's also working with Howard.
Who?
Howard is the person that created the movement, the Thick Red Line Project. Have you heard of that?
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. That's great. Now, by the way, Bernadette, I need you to speak really clearly into the phone because you're fading in and out a little bit.
Yeah, Howard Lichtman.
Would you spell his last name for our listeners, slowly?
Lichtman.
Okay.
He's the founder and executive director of the Thick Red Line, which is a wonderful option for the police and sheriff's department.
Oh, boy, would that be refreshing to have...
That is the most refreshing news, because we don't want to defund these guys. These guys, you know, they're part of the people. We should all be working together.
Well, we should be, and all police and sheriffs and whoever is helping.
That's right. And so David was... working with Howard when I first met David, and they're amazing guys. Amazing guys. For anybody out there that thought that there was something wrong with the way this is set up, you were right. And so these are amazing guys. I just wanted to let people know that David also did that. He is doing that. he continues to talk to these guys about another option instead of the state blue line.
Right, right. Now, do you want to explain that in short, or where we can let people, where could they go online to research that concept?
Yeah, I guess you can Google it.
But, it's called the thin red line.
No, this one is the thick. THICKREDLINE project.
The thick red line. Gotcha. Okay. And what is that? Rely on the community instead of the police to do their own policing?
Well, Howard talks about it. He does a really wonderful job. I recommend everybody look into it. This is a lot bigger, and this is an unlawful arrest right now. And so my biggest concern is to get David out of there so that he could defend himself. He's been defending himself all year.
Yeah, and why can't my question to the system, and it will be, you know, as encouraging people to ask this question when they call on his behalf, why can't David continue representing himself and do it from the outside where he has a books and a computer and a pencil and paper? Now, people, just to kind of bring
because
people
he was
up.
Gathering. He was gathering people. We have been doing bonfires on the beach here in Santa Cruz for a whole year, every single Saturday.
Awesome. Yeah, and my question.
Because when this whole scamdemic started, they told us we couldn't be on the beach.
Yeah. My question was rhetorical. I know, obviously, you're right. The answer is because you're getting such great public support for the movements that he's involved with, that they want to fight.
He's involved in so many. And so all those cases are on his he's been exercising the right to travel. For 3 years, he didn't have plates on his car. When this scamdemic started, they just violated him one time after another. There's multiple cases, you know, and we have video where they're like breaking his windows, kidnapping him, no probable cause.
Yeah.
It's straight tyranny. It's straight. I've never seen this before. I'm just so surprised.
Yeah, I've seen it
before. This man.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have seen it before, and that's the problem, and that's why I'm an activist, is because this was not a one-shot deal here and a one-time thing over there. This is a real pandemic. Out-of-control police, and I know people have this fetish with, you know, what do you mean defund the police? We're all going to be at risk, and we're not going to be safe anymore. The police are the greatest threat to your safety. They're not the greatest protector of it, people. Wake up. The police are... 99.9% of their time jerking around with people who aren't doing anything wrong, like the trooper who went into the pizzeria and threatened to close the woman's store because they got a call from some ninny who wanted to remain anonymous that somebody in the kitchen didn't have their mask on properly. I mean, how absurd is that? And I had to straighten them out and say, hey, the trooper ain't going to shut down anything. You better have paperwork. You better have an order from one of the two local state Supreme Court judges, et cetera, et cetera. And so we got to stay on top of the police. And by the way, how are the police going to keep me safe if somebody comes, drives up to my house and puts a shotgun shell through my door or knifes me when I'm at the store? They can't be everywhere. They can't station a cruiser out in front of my house, your house, their house, neighbor's house. They can't. All they can do is clean up the mess and threaten people and for nonviolent offenses that have no victim. So, and I want to know who was victimized by David exercising his right to travel, the gathering on the beach, the book he's writing with John Taylor Gatto about the public school system, and he doesn't hurt anybody. He's strictly exercising the rights that he's been given by the Creator. So these are if there was assault involved, or
he doesn't call himself a sovereign or a sovereign citizen. He calls himself a man.
Well, that's good. That's an important text. I mean, what people may look at.
And I want people to know that because they keep the police department keeps calling us sovereign citizen, and that's an oxymoron. It's like saying
I'm a pregnant
virgin.
Yeah, they've been trained by the local law enforcement has been trained by the federal government to look at a group of people, which they call sovereign citizens, as a threat. And first of all, the word sovereign means exactly the opposite of the word citizen. A citizen is a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. Did you get that word subject? And sovereign means free and independent. So you may be sovereign, but you're not a citizen at the same time. The whole problem is, and that's part of the brainwashing, is to get people, police, to think in terms where they're not. They don't know the definitions of the words that they're using. A cop thinks a citizen is a good American. You know, they don't understand that the word citizen is a political status. It means you're a subject. And look it up in the dictionary. I did. The lexicographers at Oxford, right there. Citizen, quote, a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. Okay, I thought we fought the revolution in 1776 to get away from being subjects of the crown and be free people, free men, free women, like Bernadette just said, a man. He's calling himself a man, not a citizen. So one little kind of very important, I guess it's not so little, but people treat it that way, is to stop calling yourself a citizen. Call yourself an American or a man or a living being or a child of a woman.
Yes.
Or a woman, of course, right. Man, woman, child, but not citizen, etc. The citizen is a very loaded word. Oh, and by the way, I had someone bring up a very interesting point. He said, Eric, well, the dictionary definition, which is a legally recognized subject, may not be the definition they use when you go into court. So I went and looked to Black's Law, 8th edition, the most current, which's court uses in their definitions of legal terms, and it was even worse. But the definition of citizen in the law dictionary is a member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community. Think about all the words in there. A member, first of all, mm-hmm. I didn't try to be a member of any political community. What kind of political community are they talking about? The one in power, Cuomo, Biden, even Trump, I'm not a fan of. None of them. They're all corrupt. We wouldn't be in the position we're in. So I think that proves that both political sides of the spectrum are corrupt. So back to David's case. So he went into court. He went into to answer a summons. He wasn't out, you know, joyriding or on the beach or at a protest. He went into court. Doesn't it prove to you that he's willing to show up and he's not a flight risk?
Yes, of course, to everyone. And he was actually on a Zoom call with her a couple weeks before that. And she demanded that he be present in the courtroom. So she rescheduled it to June 30th at 3.
That tells me she had prior motive, and ulterior motives to lock him up at that time, and wasn't honest about it. It reeks of her having the motive of having the idea, the plan on locking him up. Deceitfully, without saying so, using the demand that he come into court as a way to get her hands on him and put him in a cage, which is where he sits right now. By the way, people, David sat in jail on his birthday, which was a couple days ago.
Took him on my birthday. Did you believe that? They took him on my birthday.
They took him on your birthday, and then he sat in there on his birthday. Oh, lovely. So
yeah.
I don't see how he should be held without. And is there no bond, or is there a bail number that was set that's just high? What's the deal on bail?
So the new charges, it was an ambush on June 30th at 3 p.m. in Department 1 with Nancy de la Peña. And for anybody that knows how to do bar grievances, your bar number is 122410.
We're going to, 122410. We're going to post the bar numbers and two things I want to get up there. And if you guys can help me, I'm looking at it right now. Let's see which one of these is best. Why are we here? Why are everybody out there? Why are you listening to this? We're asking people to call and send letters on David's behalf to get him out of the lockup. There's no reason he should be in there. He appeared in court and showed good faith that he wasn't fleeing from the court. Number two, nowhere in any of the charges is there an accusation of anything violent. So give me some of the charges and what. Let's get back to that.
So he was exercising his right to travel, and then on June 30th, when he showed up, they added some new charges to his account.
And what are they?
And these counts were for trespassing public business, trespass closed land, and petty theft.
Petty theft?
So they took it from a civil to a criminal court now. So now David is at a criminal court, and they're holding him in confidence to represent himself, and he has to talk to some doctors before they can proceed and have a medical evaluation done.
Which he should absolutely refuse to say anything at that evaluation.
They're telling him that if he doesn't participate, he's going to stay there longer. They only let him out of a cell. They have a quarantine 3 days a week for 1 hour. It is so unfair what they're doing to this man. He has not committed any crimes.
Right.
And so I made all the connections because they tried to ambush me. They called my name, and I didn't know I was on the roster because I did not receive any kind of proper notice that I was supposed to appear there. And so she put out a warrant for my arrest and then charged him and me for a cash drop that I did at New Leaf Grocery Market. When I called the cops to report discrimination because they didn't want to serve me, and I called David to come and record me dropping the cash for my groceries so that I can go on my way. He never even went in the store. He never touched the product. I was there doing grocery shopping for myself. And they're charging him for a cash drop that I called 911, and the cops were down the street the whole time. They didn't even want to come to the store. They were hoping I would just leave. And so I dropped $160 for my groceries and wrote a receipt and took the groceries. I paid for them. And they threw this on him. They ambushed him in the courtroom. And now they're holding him a prisoner saying he's incompetent to represent himself. He can't speak. And that's because he was representing himself the whole year. He was trying to find remedy. He's like you, Eric. Nobody owns him, right? And he doesn't do any harm to people or their property.
Right. No, I can tell by his demeanor and his videos and stuff. He's not any type of threat to anybody. He seems just a really decent guy.
If anybody knows him, and they could write a letter and just say, how can somebody that wrote a book with John Taylor Gatto and doing all these wonderful things for the people. This is for the people. He's like, it's not just for me, it's for everybody and for their kids and for their grandkids and all these parents. That he's a homeschool leader. He's a homeschool coach.
He has a school.
He's a principal. He's the principal of a school.
Yeah, see, to the system, that's a big no-no. They don't want any competition. They don't want anybody. They want all the children. They want all the property, period. And they have it. They have the title to your house.
And David is a huge advocate for the children. Everything that he does, he says that all the time at his bonfires, that it's for the kids.
Yeah.
So it's our duty to report a crime when we hear it, or at least investigate it, because when I call 911, and I called the sheriff, none of them will take my crime. None of them will even investigate it. David even reported a crime because somebody on Facebook recorded that he placed all over his body and then gave David a hug when we were giving out free hugs. Because we've been giving out free hugs for like 50 weeks over here.
Yeah, I read that. One of David's activist things is free hugs. In response to the social distancing, and I think that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful.
There's nothing. You know how many so many people hugged us and just broke down in tears because they have not had any human contact.
Yep.
This is what the world needs right now.
Yeah.
Right now he's alone in a cage for something that he didn't do anything wrong.
No, I know he did. And like I said, there's no accusations of anything violent or anything with the victim in it. Calling petty, laying your cash onto the counter and walking out with your groceries is not theft, okay? If the a-holes at that counter register don't want to pick up the money, that's their problem. But if you pay for what you've taken out of the store, you're even, you're fine. They're obviously coming up with anything they can. I'm sorry, your toenails are too long. Yeah, anything they can get him on, ridiculous made up. So, and that way, you know.
And they did say, I don't know if anybody's seen his video of when he jumped on that tow truck.
I missed that one. What was that all about?
And that was really interesting because he's going to court and he's trying to find remedy with these people. Like he really goes in there with a good heart. Like he wants to help them. He thinks he can help everyone.
True.
And so it's true. And so that day they had no warrant and five armed officers, police, the Santa Cruz Police Department and the tow truck company. And I apologize that I don't have that information in front of me. Just came and took his car. And he's telling the guy that, I do not consent. You can't take my car. Where's the warrant? And they didn't care. And so he jumped on the car, but his car was already attached to.
I mean, did he, unbelievable. Did he, and they probably did that for a right to travel violation because it didn't have plates or a proper plate.
He did put plates. He got his own private plate.
How did they justify taking it? Did he owe money on it, or how did they justify taking his car?
They didn't. They just took it. They just took it, and the whole thing was on video. And so David wanted to talk to them because there's so many cases that he has against his county, and I don't know why the county just doesn't back off. He's not harming anyone, but we need to expose the criminality in all of this.
Well, I know.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime, we're glad to help. I can answer that question. I know why they won't back off because now don't laugh, people, and don't think that I'm just jumping to a Eric the Freedom Screamer, you know, euphemism or something or exaggerating. The satanic activity in Santa Cruz, California, is enormous. Right online, it says the Church of Satan was given its blessing by the Save Our Shores Nonprofit Environmental Foundation to be the caretaker of, I believe it's called Seabright Beach. Is that what it is, Bernadette?
Seabright. There is a Seabright Beach here. We were doing our stuff at Spring Lake Beach.
The organization that was given the exclusive right to be the quote-unquote caretaker of the beach, meaning they do the beach cleaning and the grooming and whatever else they do down there, is the Church of Satan in Santa Cruz, and it's called the Church of Satan, and unabashedly, they got the gig to be the caretakers of probably the largest beach in Santa Cruz, California, Seabright Beach. Dave said he used to go surfing there, and it's quite a well-known beach, and to have the Church of Satan, and people, you type it, go search on this. There's a ton of articles on it. Made the local newspaper. It's all in the mainstream prostitute media. It's there. Daniel, pull it up. Yeah, the Church of Satan takes care of Santa Cruz's most well-known surfing beach. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, when I saw a picture of the chief of police for Santa Cruz, California, his name's Andy Mills, and there he was on the internet standing there with his arms folded, crossed in front of him with a mask on, covering almost his whole face except for his eyes, and there was the star on his chest. And it wasn't the 5-point classic traditional law enforcement star that your old sheriffs use and the U.S. Marshals and et cetera, where the point at the top and then two at the side and two at the bottom. It wasn't the 6-pointed star either, the Masonic star, the one that all the police departments are using around New York and all over the country, the two pyramids locked together. It's a Masonic symbol. It wasn't even that. It was the 7-point star, the satanic star. You're not kidding. Look at it. Go right online. You'll see his picture there. If you find the right picture, you'll see the seven-pointed star and the center point isn't facing up, it's purposely facing down. And there's a reason for that. In the occult, the seven-pointed star with the point, the seventh point facing down. In other words, when you look at the star at the and you look at the top of it, you're looking at a space between two points. At the bottom, the point is centered straight down. And they hang it that way for a reason. And it's very satanic, and I found that disgusting that the chief of police is overtly wearing satanic attire, that the beach is taken care of by the Church of Satan, and that was given. They were given the gig by what's called the Save Our Shores Foundation, and apparently they own the beach in California, not the government of California, not the people, not the property owners, some non-governmental organization, an NGO called Save Our Shores.
So what we did over here must have really pissed them off, and all we wanted to do was get together with people, like-minded people that were open to this whole scam.
Yep.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Eric. I never heard that before. You know, I left Chicago.
Right, in San Jose.
Because I thought it was worse over there.
Oh, no. Well, it's bad. It's bad everywhere. It's bad in the Midwest. It's bad in New York. There's pockets of activity, large ones, and it's really bad in California. I believe in San Jose, I found this out during the Tanya McCash case, the Church of Satan was given a Christmas display because they can't just have it for Christianity, which is what Christmas is all about. The Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the voodoo and the everybody had to have their own display, including the Church of Satan, had their own quote unquote Christmas tree at the Christmas display in the town park, I believe it was. It's bad. And then Bohemian Grove, and then there's a place called Bear Lake where the authorities had to try to convince people that, no, there's no Satanists there, and everybody knows there is. I mean, it's just, you know, they deny it on one hand, and they come right out overtly on the other. So basically they're trying to get people to gain comfort with it. But the government in California, especially in Southern California, is very, very evil. And they do things like this on purpose to try to get back at people who want freedom and who are positive energy people, so to speak. David Rodriguez is a very positive energy person I don't mean to get too new agey sounding on people, but you can tell he's positive. He's a very positive guy. He's got a positive demeanor. You can tell he wants to help the people in general and specific people.
And he has a lot of great solutions for people.
Yep. That's huge.
He has so many great solutions. It's just amazing all the things that this community that he has, that we have built together. It's just amazing. There's no reason for them to hold him.
No, there isn't. Once again, I'll repeat. David didn't do harm to anyone. He didn't endanger anyone. There was nothing violent. Nothing where there's any victim to the crime. None of the charges
right.
have any. None of the charges have any substance. He's being charged with disobedience, basically, and not criminal activity. And that has to stop all around the country, from coast to coast, north to south, east to west. It's going on everywhere. This whole thing where you're in some kind of de facto military, like we're all conscripts, and you get punished for disobedience, even though you didn't hurt anybody, even though, there was no victim to your actions, you didn't damage any property, you don't owe anybody anything. It's just disobedient. You didn't obey this, you didn't obey that, we're going to punish you now. And that's got to stop. That's absurd. Very interestingly enough,
they're letting out criminals. I mean, I don't
they are.
Anything because I stopped watching TV years ago, but I heard somebody said, but they're letting out criminals. Why would they do that? And so the people are aware. They're like, they're going to take peaceful people that have solutions for the people.
Yeah. It creates a whole other stream of income for the courts and the police if they can let the violent people out to do more damage, okay? And then, of course, if they let the murderers and the rapists out, they those people commit murder and rape again, then the people will all of a sudden be comfortable with the idea of more police. Don't defund the police. What are you doing? The crime is going through the roof. There was 15 shootings last night in our city. We need more police. And more courts, right? With the ones that are very ones who are letting the violent criminals out. So what it does, it's a self-fulfilling cycle where they're fueling the fire by letting the real criminals out. So those criminals will repeat offend, and then it'll give the illusion that, you know, we need more law enforcement and we need more police. But it's completely absurd. So, and then, plus, by the way, the jails were very overcrowded. They need to make room for these patriots like you, me, and David, and everybody else who's standing on freedom and who are standing on the Constitution and standing on natural rights that come from the Creator and not some crumbs that you get donated out by the corrupt communist government. Those aren't rights. That's why people be very careful of your words. You're not a citizen, you're an American. You don't have civil rights, you have natural rights. When civil rights are a scam, just like the word citizen. Civil rights are rights that are apportioned out to you by the corrupt government. Whatever they say you can do, you can do. You can only do what the state police allow you to do. You can only do what the courts want you to do. You can only do what the district attorney and the legislature and the president wants you to do. That's not freedom. Those are civil rights. Civil rights can be given and they can be taken away. Natural rights come from the Creator. It's what this country was founded on. And your rights come from the Creator, and there's no bargain. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no compromise. You have rights above. Now, obviously, if you're doing specific damage to somebody else, there should be some recourse. But who did David damage by doing a mass protest, gathering on the beach, giving out free hugs at the festival? I mean, please, the guy is not a threat to anyone, and they're holding him without bail, or else we'd probably be out by now. They're holding him. Right. And murderers and rapists. I've seen it. I mean, I've watched the news. New York mafia hitmen that kill somebody get bail. It's $1 million, but they get bail. No bail at all for David Rodriguez, the free hug guy who writes books about the public school system. I mean, come on. It's completely absurd. So this is obviously political. It's just like China. Yeah, we've got to make room for those political prisoners, let the murderers and the rapists out, and then we can put the patriots in. So let me get around to giving out a few numbers here for people to call if they want to call and check up on David's condition. Ask why they're holding him without bail when bail is a constitutionally guaranteed right. I believe it's in the California Constitution. In almost every state constitution and statute, meaning the specific law, bail is guaranteed unless it's a capital offense, is the word they usually use, or the state can prove beyond a doubt that there's an overwhelming public need to keep the person locked up or not let them out for some specific reason, like, you know, they're an immediate, you know, if the person was really off the wall and going to stab the first person they see, okay, you could talk about that, but not a political prisoner.
He's a very peaceful man.
Right. No, he's not going to hurt anybody.
Very peaceful.
He hasn't hurt anybody, and he's not going to. I can tell. You can just watch his videos. You can tell this guy's not. And look, he doesn't have any history of any violent behavior. He's strictly a political prisoner. So, and being held with no bail. So that's and meanwhile, the people who are committing assault and battery and armed robbery and carjacking, they're getting out. Got to make room for those political prisoners. So, and look, anybody listening to this audio blog right now could be next. That means you. This is whoever, Mr. Whoever. You could easily be next on this. Very easily. Hiding from it ain't going to work. You're never going to hide from this. It's going to come get you eventually and or your children or somebody else in your family that you might really care about more than a complete stranger, somebody you've never met. So this could be you. This could be me. This could be any one of us. Think about it.
And we can avoid that now by standing together
right.
And demanding that they release him. We, the people, because how... the people cannot be the witness and the prosecutor at the same time. It was literally an ambush. She put in a plea for him. She assigned him a public defender and holding him for medical evaluation.
Yeah, it's got, oh, yeah, that's really scary. That's the Soviet Union model where they labeled every political prisoner, political activist in any way, labeled them mentally ill. And a very famous book was written by Alexander Solzhenitsyn called The Gulag Archipelago, Gulag, G-U-L-A-G. And a gulag is it's a prison. It's a concentration camp. It's where they hold political prisoners. And that's what they did in Russia before it became as it was morphing into the Soviet Union, that great communist revolution. All the idiots in Buffalo just elected a socialist mayor, openly socialist, said they were socialist. And the people involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, not a Democrat masquerading as a socialist, a real socialist. And a socialist is nothing more than a weak communist. So there's really no difference. So there things are getting very. So now you brought up a really good point just now, Bernadette. Bernadette is David Rodriguez's girlfriend. David's being held in California for his political activity. We can protect ourselves by helping David. This is not just,
right.
You know, whatever, you know, this guy, whatever, you know, I can't worry about him. I got my own problems and blah, 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 blah. You know, if nothing else, if it's not out of caring and out of love and out of doing what Jesus wants you to do, which is serve others, do it for yourself. If we
need this, your grandkids.
Right. And your grandkids, right. And your kids and your grandkids and your cousin, your mom, your aunt.
Right.
Your neighbors, your best friend, the person you hang out with. Yeah, you're helping all of them. If we can nip this in the bud right now and shut down this whole, you know, communist court thing, then we can all help ourselves individually without ever having the battle really come to our front door. So this is an easy one. This is a no-brainer. This is a, hey, you know, I know you've never met this guy, but hey, meet him. Go on YouTube and watch the 7 reasons you want to escape the public school system. A great presentation, and read the books by John Taylor Gatto. First name John, middle name Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, last name Gatto, G-A-T-T-O, Gatto.
It's called The Underground History of American Education.
The Underground History of American Education, Bernadette, excellent, yeah. Now, forgive John Taylor Gatto. He had a little bit of a speech impediment in his later years, but he's very another sweetheart of a guy, and he was very high up on the inside of the public school system. He was like a high level administrator over multiple districts, and he came out and said, you know, this whole thing is a scam. It's about communizing the country. Everything's out of he gave the Roman connection. Very interesting presentations. Watch as many or read as many books, but it's all over YouTube. John Taylor Gatto videos, as you can try to watch them all. And the one where he goes through the 6 or 7 points of education that were put forth in, I think it was the 1920s. And it's fascinating. It's really good stuff. So John Taylor Gatto. And our friend here, David Rodriguez, worked with John Taylor Gatto and was about to release another book. And I can guarantee you this is why he's in the square hairs of the corrupt witches court and the district attorney and the police, is because he's got their number. And he's pulling people out of the public school system and getting parents to do the homeschool thing. And you can do it with other parents as a homeschool co-op. And you don't have to do all the educating yourself. You can, one of the parents can work on a, do it on a Monday. Another parent can do it Wednesday afternoons. Maybe you can do it, but not on Friday because you've got a previous engagement. You can work out the schedule with a group of other parents to homeschool your children in a group. It's called a homeschool co-op. And you don't have to have permission. You just have to give notice to the superintendent of your school district by writing a simple letter. And we have it posted at courtroomwatch.com. It's called Letter of Intent to Homeschool. It's not very complicated. It's pretty simple. I, so-and-so, plan to homeschool my child, and so-and-so, fill in the blank with the child's name, for the upcoming year, 21-22, Their grade level will be the equivalent of ninth grade, and that's it. And send that. But make sure you send it return receipt requested, so you know the superintendent got it. You got to sign for it when he gets it from the post office delivery person. Because you know, you never know. They're going to be able to say, "Oh, we never got that." So do send it with the first require a signature. And do a follow-up call. Hey, Mr. Superintendent. Hi, Eric the Freedom Screamer. Did you get that letter that I'm going to homeschool my child? Yes, no, whatever, okay. Just make sure, double and triple check. This system is so corrupt right now at all levels, local, state, and federal. Okay, Randy, that means in your town. That means you, John and Jane, everybody out there. Your community is corrupt. It's not the next community over, not the one up the street. It's all of them. I've seen it in every community. The level depends upon the level of activism. We've got it pretty good here in Allegheny County, New York, because people are activists. When they tried to put a nuclear dump in around here, the people shut it down. They said, no, you are not. They just tried to take a few hundred acres of farmland to put up a cheese factory that makes cottage cheese. And as much as I love cottage cheese, they were stealing one of the farmers' land to do it. They didn't want to pay the top dollar for the land, the cheese company, Empire Cheese Company. They didn't want to pay the going rate. And they tried to use the Economic Development Association, which is like a quasi-government agency, to use eminent domain to take the land as if it were for public use. So there's a law that says if the government needs land, like to build a highway through somebody's field, they can take the land, they compensate the person for it for fair market value, and that's called eminent domain. They were trying to use that law to steal land for a private corporation to build their factory on this farmer's field. And the people here, 1,000 people, and there's not that many people in this county, got together and said, no, those were just the ones who spoke out and signed the declaration. So, 10 times that many people thought the same way. So half of this county, was against it. And we put the kibosh and it's not going up and the farmer's field still has its field feeding the cows and everything's fine. But interesting little side note on that. I don't want to get too far away from David's case, but these things are all connected. And so just so people know, it's community too. It's in my community. I'm letting people know. Yeah, I'm not just pointing fingers at the Satanists in Santa Cruz. I saw it go on, and this cheese factory that they were stealing the land for, it was right up the road from my house. You could walk there from the farm that I live on. It was right up the street. They were already starting to trim up, get the road all repaved and stuff, a country road, and do all these things to try to get ready for it, and it's put to completely stop. So I'm really, oh, by the way, little interesting side note on that. One of the points in the deal that the Empire Cheese Company was making with the state, with the county and state economic development authority, was that for their new factory that they were building on the land that they were going to steal, they weren't going to have to pay property taxes for 20 years. $175,000 a year they paid on their cheese factory, which is right back about 20 minutes from here. Oh, but no, that factory's getting old. We got to have a new one. Oh, with not paying that $175,000 property tax bill for 20 years, think that might have something to do with their decision to shut down the factory that's working perfectly fine and build a new one by stealing some farmer's field under eminent domain laws. And I think that property tax, no property taxes. Imagine that. No property taxes for 20 years. I kind of like that deal. How can I get that deal? Oh, no. You gotta steal a farmer's land, cut a deal with the corrupt communists of New York State, and go from there. But the people said no, and it didn't happen. Beautiful. So back to
that's where the power is. We are the people, and so if we stick together, then they cannot do this to other people that we love.
Correct.
They're using fear with the media, right? Fear and threats and coercion and duress. And we have to come from a place of love and being honorable with these people, because I think most of them are just really being tricked. They have no idea. But I think from the judges and up, like they know what they're doing.
Correct.
And they know that your house of cards is falling. because things don't stay the same all the time. We came here to have an experience and to evolve, but with honor. Guns and threats and violence, that's their style. And so David really is a peaceful man. We've done a lot of great things. And I believe that, Eric, you're right. I love to hear stories like that. And we need to be talking about more stories like that, because we create with our words and our thoughts and our feelings. And right now, if we stick together, we help so many people that are exercising their right to travel and to hug, right, and to breathe oxygen. It's more than one thing. That's why it's so key that we stick together here. He has court on July 14th at 8:15. If you can send letters or phone calls or be here in person, I mean, we have to send them a very clear message, right? Who is in charge here? It's not the other way around, right? We are not under them. They are underneath us.
Yes. Who is in charge here? We the people are supposed to be in charge. Unfortunately, we let somebody else do it, and that's the problem with the police state that we live in. So while you're, see if you can dig up his case number, and I'm going to start giving out a few numbers to call to follow up on what you just mentioned. So we want people to call on David's behalf. Hey, why is he being held without
the
bond,
with
no bail allowed, when he's strictly accused of these petty disobedience things? It's not even crimes. I hate to use the word crimes. He's being charged
with... They have no evidence. They have no evidence because I waited 40 minutes for them to show up so I can get nudity for discrimination. 40 minutes. And when I drove off, because he was in his car and I was in my car, when I drove off and David drove off, the cops were sitting down the street waiting for us to leave. This is the world that they have created for us. And we are the creator. We can't allow them to create anymore for us.
Absolutely. It leads to another question. Okay, so the first one is, why is he being held without bail? Number two, where these are questions I want people to ask. We'll get into answer in a second. Where's your evidence? As Bernadette just said, where's your evidence against David? Where's the evidence against
probable cause?
No, there's a, no, I had it. It just slipped my mind. It's called not the prosecutorial, the prosecuting instrument, the charging instrument, is I believe the term that the district attorneys use. What's your charging instrument against David? Where is your evidence of proof that he's committed a crime? Who is David's victim? Who was victimized by David giving free hugs and gathering on the beach with no masks and writing books about the public school system being corrupt?
And driving without a license plate.
Driving without a license plate. Who's damaged by that? And they'll try to say, well, society is damaged. Well, yeah, they try to say the people. You say, which people? Mr. People needs to come forward and give a testimony. Daniel, did you want to jump in? I see we're going up against an hour. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let me give out a few numbers. We're going to run the clock out. Then we're going to pick up and do a second part two, and it probably won't be a full hour. We'll just tie up some loose ends, and we could chat a little more as long as Daniel has time for. Then Bernadette and I are going to encourage people to make calls, and Daniel's going to go on a well-needed vacation. And so let me just continue to give some numbers here. So his name's Bernadette or Daniel. See if you can dig up David's case number. I don't have
that. That number is 21. This is the recent one for the petty theft. And anybody can look it up on the Superior Court of California, Santa Cruz County.
Hold on. Let me give his name first. So we'll get people to break out their pencil and write down the word David. Next name, James. Mm-hmm. Last name, Rodriguez. So his first name is David, his middle name is James, and his last name is Rodriguez. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's Rodriguez, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
David,
with a Z. And his birth date is 982. All right, and now I'm going to let Bernadette give his case number, David James Rodriguez. And his case number is, nice and slow, Bernadette.
2-1, C like in cat, R like in Robert, 02617.
Let's repeat that one more time, Bernadette. David's case number is?
2-1, C like in cat, R like in Robert, 02617.
Excellent. Now, the number of the high sheriff of Santa Cruz, and I believe he should be called
Jim Hart.
Yeah, Jim, exactly. Sheriff Jim Hart, H-A-R-T. Have a heart, Mr. Hart. His numbers, let this guy go, because now keep in mind, he's the chief law enforcement officer. He's above the state police. He's above the FBI. He's the sheriff because he's elected. And the legal definition of sheriff is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. He's the chief. He's the high guy. He's the head honcho. He could tell the feds to go pound salt if he has enough guts. His bailiffs are the ones who run the courthouse and act as the enforcement agents and the actual people who grab you when you're in court and they want to lock you up for victimless crimes and absurd political, you know, political charges. David's nothing more than a political prisoner. So the enforcement people there, the ones who won't let you out of that building if the judge doesn't like you and wants to lock you up because of your political beliefs, those are sheriff's deputies. In almost every case, the bailiffs are sheriffs. They're not troopers. They're not municipal.
And he was arrested in court. He went to court to, you know, to make a special appearance.
Right.
And they took him in court.
Yeah, and they took him away to a cage and allowed him no bail. Now, at that point, just watching that happen, where you a man you know is arrested for political reasons, there's no victim in the court or anywhere else saying that he did any damage to them. He hasn't hurt anybody. He showed up in court, so it's obvious he's not fleeing. He's not on the run. He's not trying to evade arrest or a warrant or anything like that. He went right in there. So like he obviously has a track record of showing up. The sheriff watching that judge lock him up with no bail, he should have said, hey, judge, stand up, turn around, and put your hands behind your back. You're going to jail right now for violating your oath, perjury of oath, denial of due process, malicious prosecution, arrest the district attorney, and the judge should have been arrested on the spot. If you had a real sheriff with any guts or any courage, that's what they would do. So, Sheriff.
And I called the sheriff, and he refused to do a report.
Hold on a sec. I want to back up because we just reached an hour. Daniel, are we about at the end of the first hour?
We'll continue it. This is awesome, Eric. I'm so much.
It's going to hang up any minute now.
Okay, good. We're going to pick up part two here right away as soon as we have a few more seconds go by. All right, so why don't we wrap this up? We're going to get right back to you with the number for Sheriff Jim Hart. The two judges who locked